When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Boom, back in your ears yet again. It's Offside Hockey Talk. What's going on? It's your guy James from Offside, and of course we are brought to you by our friends, if you look down in the corner, by Boxing Rock Brewing Co., the official beer for the big podcast. Absolutely stoked to sit in with you yet again and talk some Maple Leafs hockey. Now, let's be real. Let's talk about what happened with that Philadelphia Flyer game. Obviously, Toronto Maple Leafs fans, we know, multiple posts hitting that game. The Leafs could have swung that one the right way, but there were multiple plays throughout that game that were just unacceptable. Lazy plays, and I love what Sheldon Keefe did after the game. I don't care what anyone thinks. This team does not need the kid gloves put on anymore. This team needs to be handled the way they were handled after that game. Everyone simply saying, this team needs to do better. There was no one who stood out on that ice, and I don't care if they battled back and they tried to tie it up. The consistency level was not there from period one, two, or three for the Maple Leafs against the Philadelphia Flyers, which you expect it to be. You expect that from pillar to post for the Maple Leafs to do the damn job they are supposed to do against a team like Philly. Now, I can say the Philadelphia Flyers definitely are battling for their own playoff lives, battling to get into the dance, and are a tough opponent in that regard, but you just beat them. Two games ago, 6-2. Come on now. This is a game the Toronto Maple Leafs needed to show up and show out yet again that they are the team that we as Leaf fans think that they are. But they didn't. And that's a problem because we are heading down the stretch drive. We are heading towards the playoffs. And when you're heading in that direction as a team that is going to make the playoffs, consistent efforts on a night-in, night-out basis on the power play, the penalty kill, and just proper defensive position are paramount to getting right now. And one of my issues in that game was the fact that yet again we went back to something that is tried, tested, and doesn't work to be true, and that is Morgan Rielly with TJ Brody. Now, I'll break down TJ Brody in just a second, but that defense pairing, you might as well be ramming your head against a wall and just hoping that you knock yourself out with something that comes to some sort of resemblance that these guys work. Confuse yourself, I guess, is the one I'm trying to say, because it does not work. These two players are oil and water. Morgan Rielly likes to jump into the rush and figure things out. He needs a guy that is the red line and back type of player, a Lyubushkin, if you will. Even a Simone Benoit might be the type. But for what is going on between those two, TJ Brody does not have the foot speed to get back and break up the two-on-ones like we used to love. He does not have the wherewithal to make sure that he's breaking up plays with his stick anymore. From time to time, he does it. But when you go to the well too much on TJ Brody, you get the results you are getting now. I'm saying this is a longer in the two TJ Brody. This is a guy that probably needs to be your five or six defenseman on lower limited minutes, and you'd see more out of him. Also, playing him on his right side would be the best thing to do. And by right side, meaning the side of the defense he should be on permanently, which is where he played his best hockey this season. But for Mo and Brody, that pairing cannot be, no matter what you are doing in a game. It does not work. I don't know why Keith keeps going back to it. They must have some sort of internal model that we do not see that says, hey, from time to time, this can work, because it doesn't. It just does not work, and it cripples this team. Now, for TJ Brody himself, I'm going to break it down frame by frame. TJ Brody, the defenseman that came to this team, was a good defenseman. Many of Leaf Nation jumping on my post the other night that I was saying he was finally scratched and sitting, and that maybe it'll light a fire under his keister, or maybe it'll allow him to take a break, reset, and mentally also regroup. There are a lot of people underneath that commenting saying, hey, this guy has never played good for us. This guy has never been a good defenseman for the Maple Leafs. And to that I say, nay, nay, because this guy has been a good defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Last season, towards the tail end in this season, it started to fall off, which means that should be on management. That should be on the head coach to put players in a position. Wow, can't speak tonight. To succeed. They're not doing that with TJ Brody. They keep rolling him back out there. He keeps getting rickrolled to the point where now Sheldon Keefe says, yeah, we've known this all season long, but we were hoping that maybe he could turn the corner. Now we're going to give him a chance to rest and reset. Now you are. Now you are towards the tail end of the season. Maybe this might have been good to shell shock TJ Brody a little bit earlier into the season to allow that to set in a little bit earlier into this campaign. But no, now it's the right time. For me, I shake my head because I know this guy can be a serviceable 4, 5, or 6er. And mostly I'd say 5 and 6, limited minutes, shelter him a bit more. I think you get a lot out of him. Use him as a PK kind of specialist defenseman. But where he's playing top flight minutes with Morgan Riley, that is not the space. That is not the case for this player. Now, for me, I also look at the other side of things. All of the off-ice stuff that is happening in TJ Brody's life with his family, with his wife, and that's things I'm not going to discuss here, but we've all seen them. Sportsnet did a beautiful video on it earlier in the season. It is hard with all of those things, and that's why I said maybe if the defense core looked good against Washington, maybe you sit TJ Brody for more than one game, allowing him not only to physically recover, but maybe mentally hit a reset button. Just pause for the cause. Calm the grind on the ice. Still practice. Still be around the guys. But the day-to-day game stuff, maybe you pause that and just let your mind catch up to everything that is happening. And maybe you see a refreshed TJ Brody. And maybe that is what he needs. Maybe that is what this player needs to do right now. And hopefully it is recognized and the coaching staff and the team sees that this player can benefit from time away from the ice physically and mentally. And maybe we get a special edition of TJ Brody heading into the playoffs. But to put him back with Morgan Riley the second he steps back on the ice, please don't do that. Please don't subject us to that anymore. It doesn't work. These two do not work together anymore, nor have they really ever worked together. So I'd like to see him back on a bottom pairing and allow this team to move forward with different pairings, but give TJ Brody some time off the ice to heal whatever's ailing him physically, but also mentally. Bring both components back together, and maybe you get the player you want towards the playoffs. That is my two cents on the Mo Brody pairing and TJ Brody as himself. For me, I look at this too, and I say another player that I'm in the I love the player. I made a post and said, I'm done with Nick Robertson. The leash is short. The leash is done now. He has no more. This player is done. Done, and I'm done. And what I mean by that is I'm done with this player at this point of the season. You are going into a stretch drive. You are going into the most heightened part of the season and then the playoffs. Nick Robertson is now being trusted on a second power play unit as the puck-carrying player to enter the zone with the puck. Three times he had issue doing so. Multiple times throughout that game, there were bobbled dekes and passes. Same thing in the Washington game where possession was an issue. There are always sparks and excitement moments with Nick Robertson where you're like, but all of a sudden those dry up. And the one that really took the straw for me, and everybody said it was Max Domi's fault. Here's the thing. Skilled players understand how to coddle the puck. I look at Mitch Marner when the puck is passed to him a little bit hard. What does he do? He He uses his body to shield it. Guys on the blue line on the power play, same thing. They maneuver their body to make sure the puck does not get by them, or if it does get by them, at least they get enough of it where it doesn't go completely beyond them to the player streaking out of the penalty box and down the ice. It's wherewithal, it's time management, it's knowing what is going on the ice at all times. Nick Robertson is not there yet. Now, if Nick Robertson was able to play every single game this season, we may see the version of Nick Robertson that everybody wants by this point of the season. But at this juncture right now with Nick Robertson, honestly ask yourself, are you comfortable with him being in this lineup and making the mistakes he's making and having the growing pains? And let me pause right there and say this. I don't want this player traded. I don't want this player sent to another team. I don't want him to go to a different organization. So don't take me saying I'm done with this player as I'm done forever. I'm done right now. We need to put together the best lineup for the stretch drive and then the playoffs. And you cannot honestly tell me the best lineup for this team is with Nick Robertson in it right now. He is still too green on zone entries, fumbling the puck three times. I'm not even talking about the Domi incident in Philly. Just bringing the puck in, then trying to overstick handle and overplay and overdo things because he's so worried about being taken out of the lineup and sent down. Play your game. When you were playing your best hockey with the Leafs this season, you were riding on a line there with Domi and Yarncroke, and you were looking really good. That was the best Nick Robertson we've seen, and it was consistent. It looked good, and everybody pulls up the fact he's got 20 points in, 43 games, and that's a 40-point pace if he plays a full season. Great, but he hasn't played a full season, folks. He hasn't been in the lineup the entire year. That is not a tangible thing that you can hold in your hand and say, hey, look, this is what he's done. He hasn't. And the mistakes are still there because he's still learning the pro game, guys. He hasn't played that much hockey. So I'm not done completely with Nick Robertson. I'm done at this juncture of the season with guys that are trying to cut their teeth and learn their ways. That was for earlier in the season. And that, again, falls on the management and Sheldon Keefe to get this player into the lineup and figure out how to use him, where to slot him. And he's only in there right now because Yarncroke got hurt, Mitch Marner got hurt. And I'll tell you this, to a man, I said I wanted Mitch Marner to ride shotgun with Austin Matthews. You have an opportunity for a top nine player to play with top six talent. So put him up there with Austin Matthews. Put him on that line and say, hey, kid, you said you were unhappy. You said you wanted an opportunity. Here's the runway. What are you going to do on it? Are you going to take off, or is your plane going to keep going down the track and not take off right now? That would have been a perfect opportunity because then you could sit him down and say, this is what we need from you. This is what's not happening. This is why we haven't put you up there right now. But what if he flourished? What if he stepped in and just started lighting it up like Max Domi is with Austin Matthews right now? I'm just saying, it could be something. But they didn't do that. And what we've seen so far is a player who is trying to do too much in the little ice time that he's getting. And it's making key mistakes, which are making people nervous, like myself. Because this player, I feel, if that was in a playoff game, we would be having major conversations about the fact the Maple Leafs are probably going home quickly because of plays like that that just cannot happen at crucial junctures of the game. Now, another player for me that is wanting to be in this lineup and does need to be in this lineup, that is Simone Benoit. Come on down, Benny. Mr. Milkman, they call him. He's in the lineup. He's hitting bodies. He's blocking shots, and he's doing what he needs to do. This guy does not come back out of that lineup. The boys love having him in there. He does all the little things you need to do. Did he have a couple miscues against the Flyers? Of course, but what player on the Maple Leafs that night really didn't, to be honest with you? So I look at it and say, Benoit needs to be in for the physical aspect, for the shot blocking aspect, for the net front clearing aspect. He takes no crap. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And there's not enough guys in the Maple Leafs who do that, by the way. I've seen you, Joel Edmondson, tossing mitts in the Philly game. Love it, buddy. Bring it. Bring that more. We need that from the Maple Leafs decor, especially if you're playing Florida with the Lorax, a.k.a. Sam Bennett, or to Chuck or any of those guys that just like to be greasy grimies over on Florida. Same thing with Boston. If we play them, the Marchands, the DeBrusques go down, the Trent Fredericks, all those guys as well. So the Leafs decor and players need to step up and elevate their game to that level. Needs to be there. It just needs to be there, period. And Benoit brings that. Happy he's back in the lineup. Someone I'm happy got an elevated opportunity because I have been thinking this guy's game has grown with the Maple Leafs. Cannot wait to hear the extension signed for Mr. Max Domi. Playing with Mr. Auston Matthews, looking chef's kiss beautiful with Auston Matthews last night. Absolutely rocking that first line role and looking great while doing so. By the way, Tyler Bertuzzi, everybody was worried that he got in trouble by Sheldon Keefe. No, turns out he wasn't feeling well and his guts just weren't feeling that great. Heard that from Pontus Holmberg. So he sat down for the first basically 10 minutes, the first period, let everything calm down and then came back on the ice and did his thing. But Auston Matthews with Max Domi, that is something I want to see. So if you're looking at this and you say, if Max Domi can roll with Auston Matthews and you can slot in a Bobby McMahon, a Tyler Bertuzzi, or whoever else on that top line, and it clicks and it keeps working. And I know Auston Matthews loves his good buddy who wears number 16, who has the zoomies and drinks a ton of Red Bull in Mitch Marner. But I'm telling you now, I'm telling you right now, if that line works with Domi up there, maybe you swing Mitch to the second line and give a little life to JT and Willie Nylander. Or maybe you drop them even farther to the third line. And I know everybody's eyebrows just went through the roof. But if you can spread out the offense on this team and boost up other lines with talented players, do you not do that? Do you not give your lineup the maximum ability to score, to be a threat, to be a problem? Then when you want to go full nuclear, do what you do with a power play unit. Sheldon Keefe has experimented with it. Throw Marner on with Riley and just let it roll because Morgan Riley and Mitch Marner both know how to get back and play D. Marner's pretty smart in that regard. That could be your full nuclear option when you need a goal or you want to press to get one more. Got an opportunity coming off a penalty kill? Throw that kind of unit out there. But I'm just saying if Max Domi can roll with Matthews, and I know everybody's going to want to say, put Mitch Marner on that line, it'd be sick. Well, then you deplete the rest of your lineup. So I'm saying if you can move Mitch Marner around and get JT rolling or get Nylander rolling or get the third line going, don't you wish you could do that a bit more than what you have going per se if Mitch Marner's on that top line? Just food for thought, but I'm loving what Max brought. Same with Bert. They're both heating up at the right time. Imagine these guys in the playoffs. It's going to be fun. Lastly, Leafs Nation. I've been a big proponent of the bottom six needs more scoring, needs more juice, needs more jam. When Ryan Reeves is in there, he's stirring it up. He's mixing it up. He's doing what he needs to do. But guys like Connor Dewar, showing his speed, showing his net drive, Pontus Holmberg, same thing. Needs a little bit more strength in front of the net when he's covering down low, making sure he's moving guys away from his goaltender. That happened in Philly on the second goal, I do believe. Got to get a little stronger, but the scoring touch is there. McMahon, definitely a guy I'm excited for in the bottom six. Kampf looked like he's kicked it up a notch. Gregor flying around the ice. Yarncroke's down in the bottom six too. Matthew Nyes circling in around there too. The Leafs bottom six to me looks like we got something. Looks like if we need a game where our top guys are being hemmed down, maybe we can get something from these bottom six guys to contribute throughout the playoffs because these guys were not there last year. The size of these guys is different, and the complexity is way different than last year as well. And if you need to shift your whole lineup up and say Mitch is down lower, then he's getting sheltered minutes against probably lesser defensive opponents, which is amazing. But Leafs Nation, let me tell you something. You guys keep coming out in large numbers to come listen to these offsides, and I super appreciate it. So if you can do me a favor, head on over to YouTube, drop a subscribe. If you're over on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok, make sure you drop us a follow. Get in on the show. We are going crazy here with the numbers, and I love it. I love seeing you all tune in and listen. This has been a labor of love, so I'm so happy that this is starting to build and boom and come into something of its own. So Leafs Nation, we will talk about the Hot Breton issues. I will keep posting over on Twitter and getting roasted for some of my opinions, but I still firmly believe that the time is not now for Nick Robertson, but the time is now for Simone Benoit, and the time is now to check out Offside. So thank you yet again for showing up in big numbers and listening to me go on about our favorite team, the blue and white, the Toronto Maple Leafs. This right here is Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey come to talk.